This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Sherry Shine. Sherry is in East Orange, New Jersey, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is January 12, 2009. It is now 4:45 in the afternoon. And Sherry, thank you so much for taking time to do this interview with me. Please tell me about your quilt, The 44th.
Well, I saw this magnificent speech that Barack Obama had given back in March, and the speech was discussing race and race relations here in this country, and he had gotten a lot of, sort of, to me, a little bit of flack in the whole campaign thing because people felt like it wasn't something that he talked about, and so he felt the need to talk about it. And I remember actually being in my studio and turning on the TV and seeing him at the podium with all of the flags behind him, and he was also catching some flack because he didn't have his flag pin on sometimes, and also, because of his name, he was getting a lot of flack from because of that, too. And so I knew partly it was because of the McCain campaign, of course, trying to, you know, get their numbers up and get back in the running. But I just was, you know, affected by the lines that he said that, you know, we are not Black America, we are not White America. You know, we are the United States of America. And I think those three sentences that he said had a great effect on me. And that is when I really started making quilts in his honor. And that is really where I got the idea to create the 44th and put him on a stamp. I mean, by that point, of course, I had seen a lot of quilts with him, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different things. But I wanted to take, I guess, a combination of all different images that I'd seen of him and put him on a stamp. And the thing about that particular quilt is it has a lot of symbolism, and I do that with a lot of my quilts. But the symbolism in my quilts are, sort of quiet undertones. So he is in black, white, and gray, because if you mix black paint and white paint, you get gray. And the thread that is actually running through the quilt is a variegated thread that is also of black, white, and gray. So I didn't want to use any particular skin tone because it was based upon the speech that he gave about not being black or white, but just being America. The strip of red sort of, you know, stands for, you know, a piece of the flag and the White House. And on the back of the quilt, a few people have seen the back. I use this fabric that I had bought many, many, many years ago, and it is newspaper, but it's a fabric, and it actually talks about, it has an article on there about Nixon, it has an article on there about Kennedy, it has an article about Amelia Earhart, but it's a newspaper fabric, and so I thought it would be pretty interesting to put that on the back. Again, that's in black and white. I thought it would be interesting to put it on the back because it does talk about Kennedy and Nixon, presidents, other presidents. So I use that for the back of the quilt. And usually when I quilt, that's what I do. I use a lot of quiet symbols in my quilts. I wanted to use the simplest, to me, the simplest things that I could get my hands on to make the quilt, which was this pencil and some textile paper. paint because I feel as though, you know, times are changing and we as people have to get back to the basics. And I think that he thinks about that a lot too. Not everything has to be so luxurious. And so I tried to really listen to his speech. I went online. I read the speech after they put it online. And I started working on a couple of quilts. And the 44th is really what came out of that particular speech. And just was very, very moved at that point to do something.
What are your plans for this quilt?
Well, it's going to hang in Silver Springs, Maryland, in a show for in celebration of him becoming the president during the month of February and March. And so I'm very excited about that. Hopefully it will be in a catalog that is supposed to be put together. I don't know after that. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it or if I'm going to sell it. I have to see, you know, what happens. So at this point, it's kind of up in the air what my plans are going to be for it.
Now, you shared three quilts with me, three Obama quilts.
Mm-hmm.
Have you made more?
I have made more. I've made more. I've made, oh my goodness, I would say in total I've made I've made about seven, and out of those seven, I've sold three of them. One of them, sight unseen, just describing it to someone on the phone, and they really wanted it, so they just bought it sight unseen.
So why has Obama inspired you to make so many quilts?
I think it has a lot to do with a lot of people. I know a lot of people talk about his message, but for me, it's more about his vision. I sort of relate that to my artwork because I feel like that's how I am. I kind of envision something, and then I try to do some type of sketch or write some type of notes, and then try to figure out what I'm going to use to carry out that vision. And I think that's what he's doing. You know, I think that he has a vision, and he is going about it in a grassroots way to carry out his vision. I know a lot of people are asking the question now, you know, can he fix, you know, everything that's happening in this country? And believe it or not, I think that he can. I think that he already has the answers. I think that he's already done a lot of behind-the-scenes work, far more than people may know. And I think that that is very inspiring, and he knows exactly, you know, what he has his vision already. He knows what he needs to do to carry it out. And so I feel like that sometimes, like I have an idea or a vision, and I know exactly what I need to do to carry it out, and I start the process. And I think that's what he's doing right now. He's starting the process.
Is it typical of you to do a series on an idea?
You know, this will be my second series, believe it or not. I used to just do different versions of you know, just create art quilts here and there. And it's so funny because me and my husband were just talking about that today. I had done a series of women, and I called it the Ebony Queen Quilts, and I did about 17 of them. And I have four left. And I know that I have those four left because they're hanging in a show right now. So this will be my second series. And it's probably something that I will continue in the future, you know, to try to continue to work in series. Sometimes it's hard for me to do that, which is why I think it's something that I never did before. But I can see how successful it is when you work in a series. And if you're at a show and you hang a series together, whether you're vending or you're doing a show, it makes much more sense to the consumer or the general public if they see your work in a series. And so it's something that I'm going to try to continue to do.
Well, tell me about the similarities and the differences in your Obama series.
Well, I have an abstract piece that I've done that I haven't really shown to anyone. It's different than anything I've ever done, but I thought it would be a challenge and interesting to do. Most of the pieces that I've created in the series have been, to me, I've used like the simplest things that you could use, pencil, some textile paint. And I would have to say the one theme that goes through all of them is not so much color. I didn't put a lot of color into any of them because I don't think that that's the way he sees things either. I don't think he sees things in a lot of color. I think he sees them for what they are and people for what they are. So I tried to run that theme through the series on him.
Is that typical of your work?
No, that's quite the opposite. I actually love color, and I have a tendency to use a lot of bright paints if I'm painting, or if I'm painting and appliqué, I have a tendency to use a lot of bright fabrics. So it's actually not typical, and it's extremely... It's much easier for me to paint than it is for me to work in charcoal pencil and like pen and ink. It's a very big challenge. I take a long time to finish a piece when you're just using like a pencil, you know, and some pen and ink. It takes a while to finish it, so it's a challenge.
So tell me about your creative process.
Well, I'll get an idea, and I will try to do a small sketch. I carry a book with me wherever I go. It's my pocketbook wherever I'm at. I'll try to do a small sketch, or I will try to write down the idea and come home and do a small sketch. And then I'll figure out, like, you know, what size I want it to be. And once I land on the size, then I figure out, you know, what I want to do with it, what look and feel, you know, do I want it to have in terms of colors, if I'm going to use any fabrics in it, or if I'm just going to, you know, paint the whole piece, or if I'm just going to do a pencil or a combination. So then I'll kind of figure out from there what I'm going to do, and then I start. I only work on one piece at a time because I like to give each individual piece its own separate attention. And I don't have any UFOs, which is what is like a code word for quilters, unfinished objects lying around my studio. Once I start something, I finish it. So I go from beginning to end, and I work on one piece at a time.
Are you real tidy?
I am. I don't like to be too unorganized. If things in my studio become kind of too out of hand, I'll usually stop, or at the end of the night, I usually try to straighten up so that the next day I can, you know, come in and know where I left off at. And I usually paint or draw every day. I'm very dedicated to what I do. It's very rare that I don't draw or paint something or start drawing or start painting something. I usually work on my craft every day because I feel like that's the only way that you can get better at what you do. That's just me personally. That's, you know, everybody doesn't feel that way, but that's how I feel.
So this piece is 31 by 28. Is that a typical size for you?
It is. It is. It's hard for me to work bigger than that. Plus, I do a lot of art shows, not craft shows, but like art shows, and a lot of collectors already have large pieces, so they're usually looking for something in that area or smaller if they're interested in your work. So I do have a tendency to stay in that range.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, no one in my family that I know of is a quilter. I had an aunt who was a knit. She used to knit. I remember that she tried to show me on several occasions, and I was horrible at it. And one day I went to a lecture with a friend, and there was a woman there who used porcelain dyes to create realistic-looking quilts. And I was fascinated by her work, and I thought in my mind, well, I could draw and paint, and it was something that I hadn't done in years. I can't tell you how many years, such a long time. And I went to a local art store, and I asked the gentleman there if he knew of anything that I could use to paint or draw on fabric with, and he said, oh, there's so many things now, you know, technology, and he showed me this wonderful aisle that was really dedicated to fiber artists, and I just started from there, and, you know, just never looked back, just have always tried to build upon what I do or, you know, figure out a new method or add something different, you know, try to challenge myself.
Do you belong to any art or quilt groups?
I do. I belong to the Nubian Heritage Quilters. I am the vice president for the guild. It's a guild that is in Montclair, New Jersey. And they meet once a month, the second Saturday of every month. I'm also a member of SACWA, the Studio Art Quilt Association. I'm a member of SACWA also, and Fiber Focus Group that's online. That's exactly what it's called, the Fiber Focus Group.
So why is belonging to these groups important to you?
It's a way to communicate with other artists, because not all of the artists, especially in the Fiber Focus Group, are quilters. They do so many other different things with fiber, so it's important to me to just see what other artists are doing and, you know, appreciate their work as well, and just try to learn about you know new techniques and new methods to be able to create different things, you know, on cloth. So I tried canvas before, and, you know, it's just not the same for me as, you know, creating a piece and then the quilting being added to it. It just adds another dimension to it. So I'm just attracted to that. So I like being around people who are interested in, you know, fiber too.
So do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
I struggle with that all the time. that's a tough question. Some days I think of myself as an artist, and other days I think of myself as a quilter. So it's a debate. It's an internal debate that is constant in me, and it's always going back and forth. Always back and forth. So I use the term fiber artist, but I use it very loosely. I don't necessarily know right now what else to call myself, so I just call myself that. But it's something that I struggle with. And maybe it's a good thing not to be categorized as one or the other. So, but I do struggle with it.
Tell me about the quilting of your quilts.
Well, it's loaded onto a longarm machine. A longarm machine is like a pretty large quilting machine, and sometimes there's detailed quilting, and then other times there's overall what they call pantographs, patterns that you follow. That's just added on to the cloth. So there's so many different ideas and ways and methods and threads and so many different things now that you can also do with the quilting. You don't even necessarily have to stand there over the machine and do it anymore. They even have machines that can, add the quilting on its own once you load the quilt on. So technology, I think, has taken quilting to a whole other level. I don't really feel like it's a craft. I really feel like it definitely is a special art form.
Describe your studio.
Well, my studio is in my basement. I have two very large cutting tables, sewing machines, ironing board. I lay all of my work flat. I have two very large tables in a different area. I lay all of my work flat, and I usually keep all of my work in acid-free bags. And then I have bins that are on wheels, and they hold all of my fabric. And I have two pretty tall bookcases with lots of books on color, how to draw, quilting. Any kind of the history of art. I have tons of books on all different kinds of things. I use them as references. I refer to them a lot. And then I have all of my paints, some on it's like shelves, and the shelves are on wheels, so I can roll it around. And then I have some of them in bins, so I can look at the colors and see exactly what colors I want to get my hands on. And that's about it. I have rods. I have a basket that has a lot of rods, because I'll figure out, if I'm doing a show, how I want to display my work, what rod I want a particular piece to hang on. So all of those things are, in my studio.
What does your family think of your quilt making?
I think they think it's great. My husband, Marcus, he's been a great support system. I couldn't do it without him. I think that sometimes they've come with me to shows. It can be a little overwhelming for them, especially if people are not so much familiar with what an art quilt is. Sometimes my booth can, draw a pretty big crowd. And so, my kids and my family members are like, whoa, So but I think that they think that it's great. I think they think it's a great thing. I think they also think that it's tough, getting the word out. I think there's a particular group of collectors or a particular group of people in the art world that know about quilts and art quilts. And then I think there's a whole separate group of people that know nothing about them, and I think that you get a lot of those people, at shows. But I think it's fun trying to educate people, and I've gotten several of my family members to the level now where they can educate people too. So that part of it is good, and I really, really, really couldn't do any of it without their support, because they totally support me.
Whose works are you drawn to, and why?
Well, believe it or not, when I was younger, I was like a big Georgia O'Keeffe fan because of the colors. I was a big Picasso fan, mostly his blue period, because I was fascinated by the fact that he just kind of had this period where he did everything in blue. And now, today, I mean, I respect and admire their work, but I am drawn to a lot of African-American artists' work. Elizabeth Catlett, I love her work.
Why do you love her work?
Her style, it's really her style, the way that she kind of does her etchings and then she adds color and just the stories. I think it's the stories that her work, her work definitely tells a story. So, and then there are some more modern artists that I love their work. I love Leroy Campbell's work. I think that he's a great artist. I love, there's so many of them. I love Annie Lee. I think that she is another great artist. And they tell stories, too, but they tell stories in their own way. So there's a sculptor, Woodrow Nash. His statues are just amazing. So I think there's a lot of great artists out there and their work, and I'm just attracted to, I think it's a story once I look at the work. Elizabeth Waddell, she's amazing as well. So it's a lot of great artists out there now.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
I would tell them to find their own vision and to find their own rhythm and to find their own style. And that's not easy to do. It's difficult to do, but it can be done. I hear a lot at my guild meeting, people sort of, searching for that. But I don't think that it's something that just, happens in a day. I think you have to try a lot of different things. I mean, to be honest with you, I really started out doing sort of just traditional piecing and traditional quilts. I have a few, traditional quilts that I did, and I knew that I loved quilting, but I wasn't so sure that I necessarily loved, just cutting up pieces and putting them back together. And I respect that totally. I respect that. I mean, but I didn't know if that was for me. And so I had to find my own voice. So I think that as a quilter, you have to try a lot of different things until you can find your own voice.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Getting people to understand that it's not a craft. Getting people to, if you're interested in introducing your work to the public, if you're interested in introducing your work to collectors, if you're interested in your work being in galleries, in museums, and things of that nature, I think the uphill battle is getting people to look at it differently and to have them see it as an art form and not a craft.
How do you want to be remembered?
Karen, I think about that all the time. I would have to say that I would like to be remembered as the type of artist that produced good work, but that I tried to help people, that I, tried to help anyone who had questions about how to take their quilting to the next level if they wanted to, or, you know, I've done some classes where I've done some quilt blocks with some kids. I love doing that. So I like to be remembered as someone who tries to help other people, but also as someone who, you know, produced some interesting work.
Tell me about working with kids.
Yeah, with a friend of mine is the director of a Y here, the YMCA here in East Orange, and she just wanted to do something different with the kids, and so she asked me if I would be interested in doing something with them, and so, you know, I went in and talked about quilting first, and after I talked about quilting, we talked about maybe doing some kind of class, and it was so successful. We had no idea so many, you know, kids were going to show up or that their parents were going to let them stay after the aftercare program, and they did, and it was just a lot of fun working with them and, you know, working with paints and them creating their quilt blocks and, you know, what they wanted them to say, and we just had a great time. And I would love to be able to do, you know, more of that. I'm always looking for some kind of venue or something where I can, you know, volunteer my time, especially to teach kids about quilting and talking about the history of quilting. So it was an awesome experience.
So what do you think makes a great quilt?
Color. I think the story that the quilt tells, and for me, it's the little details within the quilt. So someone, for example, could add a bead or do some type of embroidery work or just maybe something that makes it a little bit different. So I definitely think it's detail, I think it's color, and I think it's the story that the quilt tells. Sometimes the color itself is the story. That's it. You look at it and you're like, whoa. And, you know, it's the color itself is already telling you a story. So.
What do quilt makers do you like?
I hope I say her name right. I think it's Kate Pasquini.
Katie Pasquini Massapust.
Yes. Susan Shee. Carol Shaw. Carolyn Crump. Diana Bracey of her work. Oh my gosh, there's another young lady. She's out in California. I know her first name is Marion.
It's okay, you can fill it in later.
Yeah, I'll put it in. So those are, and I bought a Lisa Call. I love her work too.
What do you love her work?
She dyes her own stuff. I bought a very small piece of hers, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And just the fine lines and the colors that she uses, I think she puts those things together very well. So I like her work a lot, too.
Do you buy other people's art?
I do. And if I could buy more, I would. We buy, I want to buy more quilters' work than what I have right now. But some of the other artists that I mentioned to you, we own some of their pieces. So me and my husband are what I call beginning collectors. But, you know, we love the work that we have. And we never, as we walk around the house and look at it, you know, we've talked about it several times. We just never get tired of looking at the work that we bought, and that's what artwork is supposed to do, just move you every time, and you just never get tired of looking at the piece that you have. And I'm a believer in, I always try to tell customers, it's not, it should do more than match your furniture. To you.
Oh, heavens, so. Yes, please, yes.
Yes, I always, if I go into a friend's home or, and I'll see, I say, your walls have no soul, you know, and I don't mean soul, and I mean just soul, because there's no art on your, you know, you got to give your walls some soul, whatever it is, whatever you're attracted to, you got to, you know, you got to give it your walls some soul. So, I look at some of the work that I have, and it, you know, it just motivates me. And you know, I could be having a crummy day and walk by and look at a piece of work, and it can actually, you know, it'll change the way that I feel. Or, you know, look at it and think about, what was that artist thinking, or how did they think of that, or those colors are just magnificent, you know. So I think that art, all forms, I'm one of those people, I'm open to all forms of art. I think it's a pretty special thing that we are privy to as people. So
let's just touch briefly again on the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen many of the quilts that are going to be in the exhibit?
You know, I've only seen a few quilts, and I've seen them on your website.
Okay.
And but I know some of the artists that are going to be in there, and I know their work. So I just know that I'm going to be overwhelmed when I walk in the room, because I just...
Are you going to be at the opening?
Yes, I'm going to be at the opening. I'm going to be at the opening, and I'm very, very, very excited, because I think that it is going to be one of the better shows that's going to take place in 2009. Not only because it's a celebration of Obama's work, but I think because there are just so many magnificent artists. Some, I'm sure I don't know their work, and I can't wait to be introduced to it. And then others, I know, you know, their work, and I can't wait to see what they've done. So I think that it's going to be a magnificent show.
Are you surprised at how much of his image is being used?
You know, I'm not. You know, and when McCain put out that ad about him, you know, being like a rock star, I mean, he put it out in the wrong way, but I don't think that he was too far off base. He has a certain mystique.
He's a handsome man.
He is. He's tall. He's striking. He's you know, well-spoken. And I just believe that he just, again, I think, yes, a lot of people talk about his message. But for me, it's really more, again, it goes back to his vision. I think that he has a vision, and it's clearly defined that his, you know, what he wants to do for the American people. And I think that's what's so amazing. He wants to do it for the American people. You know, he knows that, you know, we kind of need help here first. I mean, I know there are a lot of other things that he has to focus on, and that he will, I'm sure he will focus on those things, but I think he knows that his attention is needed right here, right now in the United States.
Before we close, is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon?
Just that, as an artist, I want to hopefully continue to be successful. I feel like this none of the things that I've done could have happened without my family, my husband Marcus, and without Jesus Christ being in my life. So I think those elements are important when you're an artist. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm creating something, I'm like, are you creating this for you? You know, I question myself, are you creating this for the public? You know, why are you making this? Why are you, you know, why are you creating this? And so sometimes I know the answer, and, you know, sometimes I don't, but I continue to work, you know, through the challenge until I find out. And I just, I hope that, you know, as quilters out there, we just, you know, continue to quilt, continue to make history, and that you continue the work that you're doing, because I think that it's very important for people to know our stories, because I think they are unique compared to, you know, other artists. I think everyone has a story, but I think a quilter story is a little bit different.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure and an honor. It's just so exciting. So,
you were wonderful.
Yeah, just so glad that I could, you know, be a part of this project. Now, what are you going to do? What do you do next with everything?
Okay, hold on, and we'll end.
Okay.
So we're going to conclude our interview at 5:25.